Hey everyone, welcome back to Back to the Past and Alternative History Podcast. This is Season 5, Episode 9 of the podcast. And today we're talking about what if the Byzantine Empire didn't fall to the year 1500 instead of the year which they did, which I believe is 1453. And here's Tej for some background.
So, the fall of Constantinople, so before the 1454, right, when was the fall, the Byzantine Empire was slowly falling down. It was having so many problems, and one of them was the Ottoman Empire, because they were having Middle East problems. And the Byzantine was just like not adapting to new changes. They didn't adapt to artillery that much. They're being old-fashioned, and they were just slowly decaying as the old Roman Empire. And the fall of Constantinople was, you know, their last remains of their last reign as like the Byzantine Empire, because the fall of their capital was the fall of the Byzantine and the Ottomans taking full control of like the Balkan area, even though they had a lot of land during that time. But some historians say the fall of Constantinople was the full power presence of Ottomans in the Balkan area. So when the fall of Constantinople and Ottomans took over Constantinople, the Ottomans had full control over the Balkans, and they wanted to put more pressure in Europe. So what happens if the fall of Constantinople was delayed? What happens if it was delayed to the 1500s, or at least the 1500s, because the fall will still happen because, again, the Byzantine Empire is just not going to improve their military and adapt to new changes like in 50 years. So, but delaying the fall to the 1500s is still a big deal, because that will delay the Ottoman Empire in conquest. So what would you guys think about the changes?
Well, I think one thing you were talking about before, you said like the military advances. Well, I mean, there were definitely some military advances made between 1453 and then 1500. I'm talking more so about the like naval-wise, but I mean such stuff as like the Portuguese caravel, which itself is believed to be descendant of previous Arab like sailing techniques, pretty much. But let's just say they are Arabic tech. I think they are Arabic techniques. So that in that case, the Ottomans would have access to these Arabic techniques, because while they're not Arabic, they're Turkish, so they're pretty much right next to the Arabs. Furthermore, you also have the fact that in 1453, one thing kind of obliterated the defenses of Constantinople, and it wasn't anything new that they were employing in terms of like military strategy, except one thing: artillery. Artillery and cannons become a major part of this, and I think we do see like the advancement of cannons becoming a good for siege weapon, an even better siege weapon. But in terms of the Byzantines didn't fall in 1453, they would never fall. That definitely isn't the case. Byzantium was way too weak in 1453 for it to stand as an independent nation, especially with a lack of European support. I mean, disregarding Russia, but Russia, which is kind of like being made at the time period under Muscovy, which is not really relevant to this part of the video, or really any part of it, I don't think, honestly. It would really make no sense. I think something as well to note is that if we say 1500, you did correctly note that the Balkans would be a pretty big definitely that would change, for example. The Balkans would definitely change. But I don't know how exactly they would change, though, 100%. The Balkans wouldn't conquer Wallachia. But I think something as well to mention as well, I think we can agree that all Ottoman conquests would be delayed by at least, I don't know, 50 years or so. Like, for example, look, Ottoman conquest of 1517 in the Middle East, that's going to be maybe the 1550s or something like that. Let's just say for some reason the Ottomans don't try to attack for 50 years into Constantinople. And that would kind of really, not help them out with their conquest. But let's just say their conquests become later. I don't know if 50 years later would work, but it would be later at some point.
Yeah, but Nick, to go off what you were saying, I mean, I think the Turks, it was only a matter of time before the Byzantine Empire fell. I mean, by this time, 1453, was really all that was left was just the city itself, Constantinople, and a few bits of land here and there. But the empire wasn't really an empire anymore. I mean, it was on its last breath. It was going to die either way. So even if the Turks didn't invade in 1453, if the Byzantines were able to push them back, right? It was only a matter of time before its time came. Even if the Ottomans didn't invade, then later. I mean, yeah. Even if the Ottomans didn't invade later, I mean, their invasion wasn't even necessary for the Byzantine Empire to collapse. It was going to collapse whether the Turkish invaded or not. And to be honest, probably within a similar time frame as well.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think this video is trying to say we're going to prevent Constantinople from falling. We're definitely not saying that.
Yeah.
We're basically looking at how Ottomans not conquering Constantinople in 1453 would really what the ramifications are. Speaking of Tej, what do you think some of the ramifications might be in the immediate consequences for, let's just say, the Ottoman Empire, Byzantium? Well, Byzantium would be alive probably, but barely alive. But maybe also surrounding neighbors, for example.
Well, I think it will allow the Habsburgs to get more control and more power before the Ottomans starts attacking them. Because if you're going to push Ottomans, you know, taking over the Byzantine Empire and taking over their lands for 50 years, it might allow Europe to deal with the Protestant Reformation quickly in a different period of time while Ottomans are doing their whole rampage of conquest, their war with the Mamluks, stuff like that. Because Protestant Reformation, well, the thing is, the Ottoman Empire will conquer all of Byzantine lands during the 1500s. Protestant Reformation was around 1517, and a little bit around that time period. So obviously, when the Ottomans take over the Byzantine Empire lands, they're going to obviously recover and then go on to their conquest a little bit more in the Middle East before they do full Europe conquest. But this allows Europe to get more power, especially the Habsburgs, but also think about doing crusades on the Ottoman Empire, because the Pope did kind of threaten the Ottoman Empire for a crusade, but no one really agreed with the Pope, and no one really had a full-on plan because the Protestant Reformation happened, Catholicism felt like they were under threat, the printing press happened, and Europe was just handling a different problem, which allowed Ottoman Empire to grow stronger. But if the Ottoman Empire wants to continue conquest for Europe in this timeline, it might be harder. And I think that's the biggest change for the balance of power in Europe if the fall of Constantinople was delayed.
Well, I think that's a bit of an issue as well. Don't say, oh, well, I'll take it back. Let's say I'll take it back, by the way. Just follow along, okay? Pretty much the idea is that, let's just say the Habsburgs were the ones that were going to be the main power in Europe, the Balkans or your central/Balkans. I think part of the problem you do have to realize is that some countries, in particular France, are not going to like the fact that the Habsburgs are very powerful. So I think in this scenario, I mean, part of the reasons as to why I'm blanking on his name real quick. Is it Philip V? Oh, fudge. I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the name real quick.
Is this the Duke of Burgundy?
Oh, Charles V. No. Charles V. That's what I'm thinking of. Charles V, Holy Roman Emperor, Spanish King of Spain, and Archduke of Austria. That's who I'm referring to. Also Holy Roman Emperor. But pretty much during that time period, Charles V was kind of trying to consolidate power. But at the same time, he was also fighting the Ottomans, which is probably the more important one, fighting the French, and I believe he was fighting in Italy. Well, he had the wars in Italy as well, which also are all going around at the same exact time period. So in that scenario, everything still happens the same way it does, and France just doesn't decide to attack Austria because it's even more powerful than before. Because France will do that, kind of called Realpolitik, which is, well, it's kind of established during like the French Wars of Religion, which is like Huguenots, which are the Calvinists first, the Catholics. But they would kind of go, I think, even then more real politique back then. Because even back in like the 1300s, they were still pretty real politique in terms of their philosophy with establishing an anti-pope. But that's not really involved with the story. But pretty much the idea is that we're taking out one of the main factors as to why Charles V just did not crush the Protestant Reformation at the battle. What was it? The Diet of Worms whatever it is in Germany in 1521. He could have just crushed Protestantism right there by hanging Luther. Now, it might have continued in some sects, but they would have killed the leader, and it pretty much would have turned into a peasant revolt, as it did in our timeline. But the difference was Luther wasn't able to pretty much coordinate the solid religious movement instead. So I think in this scenario, I think we might actually see no major spread of Protestantism, and that shifts Europe on a whole different way through history.
It solidifies, you know, the Roman Church's power too across the different nations in Europe.
Yeah, not really. Because, I mean, even when you would think the Roman Catholic Church was still powerful, they really were not. If you think like high Middle Ages were like, what, 1300? France was rebellious against the Catholic Church. England was rebellious against the Catholic Church for its own reasons. I mean, for example, the only reason why the English really split apart was because of the fact that Henry VIII was not granted divorce. Even if you look at Henry VIII's Anglican Church, it was literally the Catholic Church in every way but name only. And Henry himself was the king of the Catholic Church. I'm sorry, not Catholic Church, Anglican Church. I mean, Germany was kind of like a naturally rebellious region too. I mean, they call the Pope the foreign prince. And then Bohemia, which is modern-day Czech Republic, Bohemia has always been kind of like heretical. I mean, I believe Jan Hus does originate from there as well. So like Jan Hus, for example, I don't think Hussite beliefs would still be prominent in Bohemia. They could be, but if we're going to crush Protestantism, we're also going to say Hussite, like the Hussite religion also never takes off, which at that point, I think it might have already been dead. And we should make a Reformation video at some point.
That'd be interesting, I guess. Like,
I was about to say, yeah.
Never mind, yeah.
But yeah, pretty much that's really it. So enough about the Reformation. Let's move on to, well, let's just say since the Ottomans would not take over Constantinople in 1453. I mean, how does this affect the Mamluks, for example? The Mamluks were originally taken over in 1517 in the conquest of the Middle East. And it's kind of impressive because the Ottomans pretty much doubled their land size actually at that point. So you figure, with someone who's almost as equal in size as the Ottomans, they'd be equal in power, but they got their butts whooped. That's basically what you would say they got, what happened to them, you know? So what do you think happens then? Do you think the Middle East is still going to be – well, I don't think it would be still under Mamluk rule. They would eventually fall. But do you think they would fall to the Ottomans?
I think they'd still fall to the Ottomans.
But you're the
– I think just the way the Ottomans are set up and like the sultans that – were ruling during those times, they were expansionist sultans and they were brilliant strategists. No, I mean, for the most part, I think that the only two powers in the Middle East during that time, like two major powers, were really just the Ottomans and the Mamluks. So I think it was only a matter of time before the Mamluks fell to the Ottomans anyway.
I mean, yeah, the biggest thing about Mamluks v. Ottomans is that Mamluks just did not have very good military leadership compared to the Ottomans. Even if it's 50 years delayed, I still believe that the Ottomans will still have better military leadership than the Mamluks. And Mamluks, again, I'm pretty sure they didn't adapt by using artillery. So I think Ottomans will have better military weapons and technology compared to the Mamluks, and the Mamluks were already losing trading power due to, you know, Europe, you know, expanding its seas and borders, like Italian nations like Venice, you know, trying to expand their trade. So even though the Mamluks was like a powerhouse in the Middle East, it just didn't much, it didn't like matter because the Ottomans will always expand its power. It will find a way to conquer Mamluks, and Europe was already like getting more connected to the world. Like obviously like not colonization more, but more like trading. This was like the start, I felt like.
Yeah, I mean, I know, for example, like in our timeline, after the Ottomans took over the Mamluks, actually, so the Mamluks before, they were having a naval war with the Portuguese to kind of stop the Portuguese from going towards the Indian Ocean. So after the Ottomans took over the Mamluks, they kind of took up the responsibility. So like these Middle Eastern powers, I mean, they were trying to limit the European influence on them, of North Africa, and then into the Indian Ocean as well. So yeah. I think we should talk about the Renaissance and its effects, because a lot of historians suggest that the Renaissance started at the time that it did start, because a lot of scholars and artists from Constantinople flee to Italy after the Turkish took it over, in fear of their lives and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, because, I mean, like, even though when Ottomans took over the Byzantine Empire and a lot of Greek scholars moved to Italy, the Renaissance was still going to happen because it was more of, like, bringing back Greek and Roman culture. So you still had, like, Italy, you know, Italy was not going to be invaded by the Ottoman Empire, and Greek culture was still going to be used to, you know, rebirth of European culture and ideas, which is why it's called the Renaissance. So the fall of Constantinople was not really a major cause of the Renaissance. It was a factor that helped the Renaissance because of some Greek scholars moving to Italy, and some of those Greek scholars could have been very influential, but the Renaissance was still going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not going to happen. My only thing is I think that specific timing that it did is due to the Constantinople falling. So if it didn't fall at the time it did, the Renaissance could have been delayed for a few years to like a few decades. It was inevitable. It was going to happen. Like, there's many things in history that no matter what you do, it's just bound to happen. It was made to happen. You can delay it, but it's going to happen. So I would say the Renaissance is definitely one of those things. But anyway, that will be the end of today's episode. Thank you all so much for watching. Make sure to follow our socials at Back of the Past P1 on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know what you think about this episode and all our episodes. You can comment, send us an email, whatnot. If you have any suggestions for episode ideas as well, please, we would love to hear them from you guys. But other than that, have a good rest of your day.